So good to see you this morning. It is a blessing to be here, and I do bring you greetings from New Hope Baptist Church and from Reese and Louise Stinner and their girls, Megan and Eleanor and Sarah. You would be so amazed. Sarah is taller than I am now, so it's just amazing to see them, and we love getting to serve with them and the privilege of being here with you today. I want to thank you for the hospitality that we have enjoyed. David, we get fed well when we come here, and I want to thank you for that. And we just love, Don and I love being here every time. In fact, sometimes when we come just into this worship place right here, we just have almost an emotional experience because God has done so many amazing things in and through. And just to get to see you again in fellowship here, we are so excited. I want to say thank you to the Holland Road Baptist Church staff and for the wonderful way in which and the good work that you do every single week here. I'm just so excited to see all the things, and I've been hearing about the upcomings, and that's just really, really exciting of what you guys are getting ready to do and jump into. And Pastor David, thank you for allowing me to be here in the pulpit this morning and for the opportunity to open God's Word with you. And so I'm going to invite you, if you would please, to turn with me to John chapter 15, John 15, verses 9 through 17. And if you would, if you didn't get your Bible with you, or perhaps you left that at home, if you would like a Bible, you can just raise your hand, and one of the stewards will bring you one right away. Anybody needs a Bible? There you go. We have some available. Just raise your hand and they'll bring one to you. John chapter 15, verse 9 through 17. Now, I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, it's as they did in the Old Testament, would you mind to stand in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Beginning in verse 9 of chapter 15, the book of John. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. On the eve of Jesus going to the cross, in an upper room where the Lord and the disciples were sharing a Passover meal, the Lord Jesus, by word and example, pours into the lives of those men a love that changes everything. And this morning, to help us get a grasp on this passage, we're going to pass out small pieces of vines. I think the steward's going to help me with that. I'm going to ask you, if you would please, as the basket or bowl is passed, if you take one small piece of vine, if you'll just get one of those and keep it in your hand, because we're going to refer to it through the service. And you're going to need that in just a bit for what we're going to do. Now, I want to say a special word of thanks to Brother Philip Duke, who secured all of these pieces of vine for me. And he promises this morning there are no allergic reactions to any of the vine pieces, okay? So you're going to be fine if you take one of those, and actually if you take it home with you. All right, as those vines are being passed, I am reminded of the, and this is a little known fact, but there is actually a king of the potatoes in Ireland. So there's this Irish king of the potatoes, and he absolutely refused to allow his daughter to marry this BBC radio announcer, because he was only a commentator. See. Sorry. I apologize. I know that's bad. I promise. Donna didn't want me to tell that, but anyway, I'm sorry. Sorry. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus declares that he is the vine, the true vine, and that we are the branches. And it's out of this illustration that Jesus uses the vine and the branch to teach us about verses 9 through 17. And he wants to teach us about abiding and abounding. abiding and abounding. Verse number 9. Let's take a look at verse number 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Now that's pretty cool. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Will you look at your neighbor this morning and tell him, Jesus loves you. Look at your neighbor right now. Just tell him, Jesus loves you. That's right. Exactly. Jesus loves you and Jesus loves me. And let's all say it together. Jesus loves me. Ready to go. Jesus loves me. Amen. Jesus loves me. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me pretty excited this morning. Because through Jesus, see, I am connected to the vine. And I have available to me, because I am connected to the vine, all the blessings of Christ. I have the promises of God's word and the power of the Spirit of God in my life. Now, what do I need to do in order to be able to take advantage of that Jesus has allowed me to? I need to abide. Jesus says abide. And that word abide means to remain or to dwell, to rest in, to receive from. And see, Jesus tells us what to do. That's abide. But he also tells us how to do it. See, we abide in Jesus when we obey. We abide when we obey. Look at verse 10. It says in verse number 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jesus tells us what to do. He tells us how to do it. And he tells us why we should do it. Verse 11, so his joy could be in us. And so that joy could be in the fullest measure. See, when we abide in Jesus, it brings the joy of God into our lives. How many of you want the joy of Jesus this morning? Amen. Oh, that's all of us, I think. So we all want the joy of Jesus. And the way Jesus says, in order to do that, you just simply need to abide in me. Abiding in that love of Jesus also helps us to order our lives. If you think about it, it's a good way to order our lives. J-O-Y. J-O-Y. Jesus, that's first place in our life. O, others, before ourselves, and lastly, yourself. So if you think about joy, to have joy, if we can order ourselves as J-O-Y, to have that joy, Jesus, others, and yourselves. Now, let me ask you, if you would please take a look at your vine. Everybody look at your piece of vine. Everybody got one now? Anybody not have a piece of vine? Okay, everybody's got vine. Take a look. Now, I imagine that that piece of vine is the branch, and that represents your life. Now, I want you to think just before it is a piece of the vine. So that vine is before it. We'll say that's Jesus. This is the branch. And I want you to think about now the sap that runs from Jesus or from that piece of vine before it into the branch. Okay, the sap that runs into that. If you can imagine that to be like the love of Jesus. See, the love of Jesus flows from him into you. And then guess what? You bear fruit. That's exactly the way it works in nature. In the natural, in plant life, you have vine, branch, fruit. That's the way it works. Vine, branch, fruit. In the Christian life, it works just the same way. It's the love of Christ in us, love for others. Love of Christ in us, love for others. And it's a very simple process that Jesus tells us to do. And he says, so you need to abide in my love so that you can abound then in love for others. Verse 12, I think, says it extremely well. He says in verse number 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Okay, that sounds right. That, I mean, as Christians, we kind of accept and understand that that's what we need to do. We need to love each other. We kind of get that. And now, wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. There is something else in here. Love each other. Oh, as I have loved you, or in the manner in which I have loved you. Now that's a little bit taller order right there. Okay, love each other. Yeah, we can love each other. But now love each other as Jesus loves. Oh my. Now that's something else because, you know, oh Lord, what about Brother Fussy Britches? You know, he is so negative. You know, I got to love him too. Or what about Sister Needs a Lot? You know, she has issues. You know, I mean, I got to love her too. Jesus says yes. And you say, well, Lord, how can I love those like you love me? How could I do that, Lord? Very simply, Jesus whispers, and he whispers to me, abide, abide, abide in my love. If you abide in that love, that love will flow through you into love and allow you to love others. My love through you. And see, actually, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes the love of Jesus into our lives, and then he produces good fruit, fruit that will last. He produces love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness and gentleness, humility, self-control. All that fruit of the Spirit that's produced through the love of Jesus flowing into our lives. The love of Jesus will make you do sometimes unusual things. It'll make you go across the street and do something for a neighbor. It will take you on mission to Wales. And by the way, I hope many of you will pray about going and being a part of the Wales mission or one of the other missions that New Hope is involved in this year. The love of Jesus will cause you to go to the ends of the earth or even across the street to do something for somebody else. The love of Jesus will make you bold in the face of conflict or in adversity. The love of Jesus caused him to go to a cross. A cross to die for our sin. And perhaps that's why twice in this passage the Lord Jesus says to us twice, love each other. Here's my command, love each other. Now why would this be so important? Why would this love, this agape in the Greek kind of love be so important? It's important because it makes the impossible life that we're talking about this morning possible. It makes the impossible possible because that kind of love changes everything. 1 John 4:16 proclaims that love is the very nature of God himself. This love, this unique abiding in Christ kind of love, it fuels the Christian life. This is what allows us to be the kind of Christians that Jesus calls us to be and that God wants us to be. Now, I've got some friends this morning that I've asked would help me with some scripture reading. So I'm going to ask them to come up now. And if you guys will come on up. Can we encourage them as they come? Thank you. There's a microphone there. And we're going to continue to talk about love. But there's so many scriptures. Actually, it's been called the grandest theme in all of scripture, which is love, the love of God. And so there's just a few things that I wanted to bring out this morning, although there's so many. I wanted to talk about, first of all, the love of God, this agape love. It produces community. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10.
Romans 12, 9 and 10. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves.
Thank you, Jill. Love not only produces community, but it prompts obedience.
This is what Jesus says. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Thank you, Gwen. It produces community and prompts obedience, and it propels motivation.
2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died.
Thank you, Donna. It also provides purpose in our lives.
1 Thessalonians 4:9 to 10. Excuse me. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more.
Yes, it produces community, prompts obedience, propels motivation, provides purpose, and it protects relationships.
Philippians 2, 2 and 3. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves.
Isn't that amazing? Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate your help this morning. It produces community, prompts obedience, propels motivation, provides purpose, protects relationships, and prevails over fear. Because perfect love, according to 1 John 4:18, casts out all fear. That is so exciting to me. And that's just a tiny snippet of all the things that love produces in our lives. See, I love love, And this is agape love, okay? This is a special kind of love that God is talking about. Jesus talks about this because that kind of love astounds the world. It aggravates the devil and it attracts the lost. That kind of love changes everything. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Would you look at your branch? And I want to ask you a question. As you're looking at your branch this morning, what do branches from vines spend their days dreaming of? Every vine, every branch from a vine spends its days dreaming of one thing. Anybody know? That's right, producing fruit. That's what it's thinking about all day long. Ah, how can I make some more fruit? How can I make big fruit? How can I produce that fruit that will last? That's what Jesus says is important for our lives. Matter of fact, he explains in verse number 6 of this same chapter what happens if we don't produce that fruit in our life. Every branch wants to abound in fruit because it was created to do so. And could I suggest to you today, brothers and sisters, that we were saved to serve, to worship him, to produce the fruit for the kingdom. Look at it in verse 16. Verse 16, it says this. Should have brought my glasses this morning. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now, did you catch that prayer promise that's at the end of that right there? The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Do you think Jesus really meant it? Sure, he did. Yes, he did. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Because, see, the vine sees to it that the branch has whatever it needs to produce that fruit. Jesus will see to it that you have what you need, that's his love, to produce the fruit that he's calling you to do. He provides it. So let me say it again. The vine will see to it that the branch has whatever it needs to produce the fruit. And I want to say glory to God this morning. That gets me excited because Jesus is going to give me all the things that are necessary. Every resource, everything that I'm needing, he's going to provide that for me. And that's exciting. I want to tell you a story about a young lady in our church. Her name is Anna Watson. She's a third-year college student at the University of Georgia. She's a cheerleader, and she grew up at New Hope. She's even been a summer intern for some of our youth, and she loves the Lord with all of her heart. She's actually been on mission with us into Wales, the very first Wales mission that New Hope went on. She went with us to that, and she's been here in this very church, and she stood right over there and sang in the choir. Anna Watson is a wonderful young lady. That this past week was featured in the Yahoo News. It was kind of a news site on the internet, but also in a morning talk show called Good Morning America, which is a national syndicated talk show. And Anna was featured there because of a choice that she made. So I'm going to play the clip for you. I want you to watch Anna Watson now.
Watson is just your average all-American cheerleader. Well, maybe not average, because this 21-year-old could probably bench press most of the football players she cheers for.
I've always been just active in the gym and like cardio, running, exercise and stuff, and then someone introduced weightlifting to me about 2 years ago.
Anna went from 125 pounds to 175 and caught the attention of a fitness modeling agency who offered her a $75,000 contract.
I needed to put on roughly 50 pounds of pure muscle mass.
Anna was benching 155 pounds, deadlifting 230, guzzling 900 calorie mass gainer shakes, but it wasn't enough. The agency told Anna they wouldn't sign her unless she took legal steroids to bulk up.
You know, I'm going to stick to my guns, literally, on this, to my guns and not artificial guns. And so I just, I said no.
Anna Watson is here with us this morning to tell us more about her story. And we can see that you have an injury here. What happened?
Yes, ma'am. About a week ago at cheerleading practice, we were warming up and I was just doing a tumbling pass. And so it's a simple move that I do all the time, but I guess my body wasn't warm enough. And I was going into the pass and it just snapped my Achilles tendon when I took off. So
You've been putting your body through a lot.
I have been, yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Let's talk about you turning down the $75,000 contract to be the fitness model. I mean, was that a difficult decision for you?
for you?
Or? It was definitely difficult, and it was tempting at first. It looked good. The agent came at me from all different kind of angles and tried to make it look as good as possible. But I know I've grown up in the church, and I've been in the Word my entire life, and just reading the truth and seeing that this is really not something that God wanted to do. I feel like my body was created the way it's supposed to be, and that it's a temple, and just putting artificial things in it was not something that I was willing to do. And it just reminds me of my story. It's kind of like a modern-day Daniel story in the Bible, when the king had all the men come in, and he wanted to kind of get them strong enough to go into war. And he offered them choice wine and choice food. And Daniel said, you know, me and my men, we're going to do what the Lord has called us to do. And then at the end of the 30 days, they ended up stronger and healthier and more mentally tough than the king's men who had enjoyed the rich foods. And so I feel like that's kind of my story. At the end of it, I might not be where I hope to end up. And I know that in the Lord's eyes, he is pleased.
So. And how did you start all this? How did this all happen for you?
Well, I've been active since I was about 5 years old. I did gymnastics, and then I transitioned into cheerleading in college. And when I first went to school, I would just do cardio all the time to kind of relieve stress, and I realized that I lost a lot of strength, I lost a lot of muscle, and so a trainer in Hawaii was like, why don't you try weightlifting? So I started lifting light, and then an agency contacted me, and like, if you can put on the size and the strength, then we could use you for this campaign. So I just got in the gym and started lifting weights, and it was something I just kind of got hooked to.
Yeah, you used the word addicted, and it
right,
is.
Yes, ma'am.
There is something that happens to some people, and then that's what you felt happened to you too?
Yes, ma'am. I think anything can be an addiction. I thought I just kind of put off an excuse that exercising was healthy, but I realized when something that you love becomes a passion, becomes an obsession, then you know it's too much.
And that's your message to young people,
yes,
especially.
Ma'am. Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
Don't let it become, it can be a passion.
It can be, but you have to have balance. And I realized if you swing too far one way, it just throws your life off kilter.
And where do you find the balance for you, Anna?
Really, my identity in the Lord. I know that I'm a daughter of the King, and I've been saved by grace through Jesus Christ. So I know that that's where my identity lies. So no matter what I look like, I've been 175, 125, like you mentioned. I wasn't satisfied until I realized that my identity and my image is in the Lord and how he created me.
I got to tell you, it is refreshing for anyone, especially a young person. Your spirituality,
you
wear it on your sleeve. It's very important to you, and you don't shy away from it one iota. And you call me ma'am. Yes, you are. You are at the University of Georgia. Aga, aga, aga. But everything's going well other than the Achilles. You think you have found balance and things like that?
I found peace. I know that the Lord has me where he needs me, so
all right.
I'm excited.
Thank you, Anna, very much.
You.
All the best to you. Hope
you
heal really
Thank
good.
You.
Amen. Anna didn't want to put anything into her body that would harm it, even if it meant a short-term goal or short-term gain. And see, that's the vine and the branch principle that we've been talking about. Whatever is received by the branch from the vine allows it to produce that fruit. So spiritually, whatever flows into our lives will either bless our lives and will bless others, or it will curse our lives and will in turn bring harm to others. That's why Jesus says, abide. If his love is in us, then we'll produce good fruit. We have a saying in the United States, garbage in, garbage out. I don't know if y'all say that or not. Y'all probably say rubbish in, rubbish out, don't you? Okay. But it is so true, and it's true of us spiritually. And this morning, I want us to ask ourselves a question. I'm asking myself this question. First of all, what are we looking at? You know, we spend our lives so much in front of screens anymore. Every kind, this size, this size, this size, this size. You know, we spend our lives in front of screens, and it's so important that we look at the right things. It can be very dangerous. And so we need to make sure that we're looking at the right things. But not only do I want to ask ourselves this morning, what are we looking at? But I want to ask, what are we listening to? Music is so important in our lives. But what are those things that we're listening to? And what are the voices of others that we are listening to? What are we engaging in? What are we thinking about? What are we talking about? Because whatever flows into our lives will either bless or curse. And then on the other side of that, we will either produce either good or not good fruit. And our lives need to bear the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to abound in the love of Christ, abide in the love of Christ, so that we then can abound in love for others. And that's fruit that will last, according to the Word of God. That's a love that will endure. Will you go with me in your mind's eye now just for a second, and let's sit with the Lord Jesus at that Passover table. Let's look into his eyes. Let's hear his heart. And as he shares his final thoughts just before he goes to the cross, I want you to hear him say, no greater love, no greater love than this. A man lay down his life for his friends. Did you hear that? Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he called us? Did you hear he called us friends? The Lord Jesus, Lord of the universe, created it all from time, only begotten of the Father, he calls me a friend. He calls us a friend. Philip, he calls you friend this morning. Rosie, he calls you friend this morning. Adam, Tim, he calls you friends this morning. Mike, he calls you friend. Do you hear him call your name this morning? Does he call you friend? Do you hear him say, I give my life as a ransom for you? Do you hear him say that this morning? In closing this morning, I want us to take a little abiding check. I want us to check up. I need to check up on my abiding. I want to ask you two questions. Are you, first of all, connected to Jesus as the vine and the branch? And then I want to ask you, are you connecting with Jesus as the vine and the branch? So I ask us if we can all bow our heads, just close our eyes just a minute. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and just quiet your heart before him. And can I ask you, first of all, search your heart as I ask you this question. Are you connected to Jesus? Have you come to that place in your heart and life where you've said, Lord Jesus, I want to be connected to you. I want to know that you are my Lord and my Savior. If you've never had that wonderful opportunity and never taken advantage of it, I want to give that to you this morning. You can right now know the Lord Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior. And you could do so by simply voicing a prayer in your heart as I voice it out loud. So if you would like to know the Lord Jesus, if you'd like to connect to him this morning, if you'll just pray this prayer silently in your heart as I pray it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. I turn from myself. I turn from my sin. I ask you to come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. And with every head bowed and eyes still closed, if that was your privilege this morning to connect with the Lord Jesus and you prayed that prayer with me, prayed it to God, if you could, with every head bowed, still eyes closed, would you mind just to raise your hand? Just raise your hand so that I can pray for you. I'd just love the opportunity to pray for you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you another question tonight, this morning. Are you connecting with Jesus? Does his love flow through you in worship and in service to others? Do you sometimes, like I do, feel spiritually dry? Do you need that fresh love of the Holy Spirit in your life? Perhaps there are areas of your life you just need to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, flow through me and use me to honor your name. If so, I'd like to pray a prayer with you this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to connect with you, Lord Jesus. We need you to come into our lives and fill us with your love so that we in turn can abound in that fruit that will last as you describe. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask you, Father, to help us to connect and continually connect with the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us to do those things that honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, lastly, I'd like for you to take one more look at your vine. Everybody got your vine piece? Okay. And then I'm going to ask you to do something today. I don't often do this, but I'm going to ask you... I'm going to give you homework. Do you have homework in the UK? Okay. I'm giving you homework today, okay? Homework. I think you'll enjoy this homework. Okay. God so loved the world that he gave. And we're never more like God than when we give. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to take this. And as a reminder today, I want you to do one act of love in Jesus' name. One act of love today. Before you go to bed tonight, make it today. One act of love in Jesus' name. And it could be anything. It could be a smile to someone who needs one. It could be a scripture, perhaps, that will bless someone else, a prayer for someone. There's probably a university student that could use a 10-pound note this morning, okay, somewhere, all right? If the Lord puts it on your heart, if not, that's okay. Perhaps a compliment or just someone needs your forgiveness this morning. That could be a great gift of the Lord. Perhaps you want to just express your love to Pastor David and Laura for all that they mean to this church. Or perhaps it's a hug. Somebody may need an invitation to lunch today. or an apology or encouragement. Perhaps it's a visit, maybe food or clothing, shelter. It could be anything at all. The Holy Spirit will tell you, if you'll just ask Him, what it is you need to do. And you can just go through the day, but look for that opportunity to share God's love through that giving of the love of Christ. And then I want to ask you, if we could today, to close the service, but not actually closing the service yet, because we have another song to come. But before we sing that last song, and I know this is a little different and not quite the pattern, but just to kind of seal this day and to kind of give us an experience of what that love is all about, can I ask you to stand with me now? And could we say the grace together? And as the pattern is sometimes, could we look at each other as we say the grace? Okay? And by the way, if you would like to have an extended prayer time, if you need some more prayer, if there's any ministry or things that could be prayed for, I know there, Brother Steve Jackson has a group that meets up in the balcony immediately following the service. They'd be very happy to meet with you, pray with you for any of your prayers concerns. They'd be happy to do that. But just before we have this last song, let's all say the grace together. And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.